Veterans Rhythm Guitar Project.
Huh. Let's find out about that.
Who do you ask?
Larry, sitting across from me.
Larry who?
Larry Doran. It said his name was, and I said, how do you spell it? He said D-O-R, and my brother-in-law is D-U-R-A-N. But pronounced the same way, I guess. Larry, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Ozarks. Good morning, Ozarks. It's a privilege to have you this morning.
Oh, thank you.
And I encourage you, if you ever get to the Keter Center, grab you some of that tequila soup.
Yeah,
and,
I
and let
tortilla
us
soup.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood you. Hi, buddy. Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
So
thank
where
you.
Are you from?
I was born in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And I found out that the girls in Nebraska are corn-fed, so I went up and got me one.
What city?
She was in York, Nebraska.
I spent 9 years in Grand Island, just west of York.
Yeah, last December, we celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations.
So I'm pretty pleased about that. Absolutely. Did it right the first time.
There's a college in York.
Yes,
York,
there is.
Ladies, women's college.
It's what?
I think it was women's college.
No, York College is a Christian college there. And
yeah. Right, but it's not just a women's college.
No, it's co-ed.
Okay.
Thanks, Keith.
Well, there was something in my memory when I was up there about a women's college somewhere. I don't know. Never mind.
Well, if it comes up, tell us.
I will. But York's a great little city east of Grand Island.
They were in the College of the Ozarks Conference for years. There's a bank there that was involved in Branson for a number of years with the museum here. And there's a gentleman in your area that lives in that area. That is a sculptor, mm-hmm. Fred Hoppe, okay?
Okay, I've heard the name.
And if you go by the Veterans Museum, his dad is leading that charge on that 50-man statues.
That's
through
quite,
there.
Quite a display.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. Yeah.
What a craftsman he is. And if you stop and take a look, which I encourage you to do, there's one man from each state, and if you take a look really close, one of those is Bob Dole. From Kansas.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Really, really neat.
I didn't know that.
So how long did you live in Nebraska?
We lived there about 20 years. We moved to Branson about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Retired and decided we wanted to be around some music and a Christian community, and this seemed to be the right place for
well,
us
you're
to
on head. A, you're on a money, buddy. Yeah. Mr. Nebraska over here. Tell him about your
Go
journey.
Big Red. Well, I went from Los Angeles to Grand Island, which was a culture shock.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In 1967, I worked for KRGI. And out of Grand Island, and it was owned by the gentleman that owned KFOR in Lincoln. So you were right in between those two cities.
Mm-hmm.
They told me when I got there in July, they said, now this fall we'll be carrying football here on the radio station, and I want to tell you that football is a big deal here,
hopefully.
And the most coveted community property in a divorce is the season tickets for Big Red.
That's
I
right.
got an opportunity to go to many games, and I'm a Cornhusker fan today and will continue to.
Well, good.
Even if we've had a terrible few years.
Well, we also support the women's volleyball. They have been incredible.
Excuse me, sir.
The biggest crowd. The biggest crowd ever.
For yeah.
And he had to be brought that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you what he just said. And I don't want him to say he's not telling you the truth, but he just didn't tell you the truth. Just
I
now.
Didn't go there that day.
No, you said that you were a what fan?
I'm a football fan.
That's not what you said.
A Nebraska
you
football
You said you were a Cornhusker fan.
Yes.
But when you said volleyball, I'd love to have been sitting in that stadium with 70, 80,000,
oh,
however it was.
Man.
Can you imagine? You know,
it had to be unbelievable.
Career did you do up there, Larry?
Actually, I was pretty much retired by the time I got up there. I'm an old guy. I was born in 1941, so I'm sitting here at 82 years old.
Oh, my gosh, you're just
and
a young puppy.
And I'm still kicking and out
if
doing
If you stopped
what
on
I
the sidewalk,
and
Keith would bump into you,
yeah.
and I'd be right behind him.
Yeah.
Yep. Huh. Well, what got you from York, Nebraska to here, Branson? What was the draw? Just the music, or
primarily, we'd been coming to Branson for almost 30 years, off and on, just to see the shows and to enjoy the lakes and the boating and the fishing,
right?
Like a lot of other folks.
Yes,
I mean, I remember two-lane roads here, and before the blue and the yellow routes and all that, and it made it easier to get around. And now that we're moved here, I was kind of concerned about traveling up and down 76 Country Boulevard, but there are ways to get through and back and forth.
Yep.
And once you find your way around, I can get anywhere in Branson in 10 minutes, which is terrific.
That's good.
Just wonderful.
Good time to thank the city of Branson and Larry Miller and others at the city who were very, very thoughtful about the traffic problem in the late 90s.
Oh, man.
And they did roads that were hard to build, but the bypasses and around by Epps Road and Gretna Road and others, because it used to be a packed place on 76, but no more. Now, I'm reading from my sheet, and I've just read the title, and I'm not going to read the news release. I'm going to let you tell me about it, because it says Veterans Rhythm Guitar Project. Now, not only do I have a good co-host that fuels scrolls and eats soup and is a Cornhusker football fan, he's also a musician.
Oh, good.
And he's a real good
I was a drummer, and once in a while we got to hang out with a musician.
Oh, I see.
And he was a very successful studio recording gentleman who I took my talents to many times. Never got me anywhere, but we got to be good friends.
Yes.
So I want you to tell me, what is Veterans Rhythm Guitar Project?
Well, it's a project that I started a little over a year ago, I guess, and I didn't really mean to. It was one of those things where I was led to do it because, let me just start at the beginning. Back in 1948, I was 7 years old. That's before cell phones, and that's before television. And the only music I'd ever heard came out of a car radio, a console radio, big unit sitting in our living room.
AM radio.
Yeah, big old AM radio, scratchy thing.
That was before him. Yeah.
But my neighbor invited me over to hear a guy sing and play guitar. And I thought, well, this is great. I'll go do that. And this guy sat down in their living room with a box with a stick attached and some strings and created music right out of the air. And I found that fascinating. I didn't know how music came about, but he could sing and play guitar all by himself and create his own music. And I was just enamored. I mean, I thought it was like magic. And at the end of the session, I was still frozen staring at him, watching him play. He said, if you'll promise me that you'll learn to play this guitar, I'll give it to you.
Wow.
And to me, that was enormous. Oh, it was huge. But back then, you didn't accept something like that without talking to your, getting your parents okay.
Absolutely.
You didn't take a gift from strangers. So we went across the street and asked my dad. And my dad said, no, you're not giving that boy that guitar. And I was just wrecked. I was just so disappointed. The guy says, sir, and he says, this is my guitar, and I should have the right to be able to do what I want with it, and I want this boy to have it because I see talent in his eyes. And my dad says, your guitar, you do what you want with it. You want the boy to have it, let him have it. And he gave me the guitar.
Oh, boy.
And I promised him, I swore to him I would learn to play it. I couldn't do it. I tried for years to learn to play that guitar.
Was it the fingering? Or was
Yeah.
The neck was probably too wide for a little guy's hands, maybe?
Well, it was an old pasteboard guitar, and I'm sure the strings were about an inch off of the fretboard.
And
every time I'd try to play it, I would rip the ends of my fingertips off. Yeah. I'd bleed all over the fretboard. I'd have to stop and clean the guitar, change the strings, put it in the closet, wait till my fingers healed, and try again. And I did that for years. And I was so totally frustrated and disappointed in myself. I thought, everybody else can do this. Why can't I?
Now, let's stop there just a minute. I find that very unusual. Because, Keith, I tried to play the guitar just like he's talking about. And they were the metal strings.
Yep.
And I'm like you. I couldn't get it. I played Wipeout once, a little bit of it, on an old box guitar. What do you call those acoustic guitars, Keith?
Yeah, that's an acoustic.
But then somebody handed me one time that had, Keith, you'll have to help me here. Nylon strings. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my goodness, what a difference. And they were closer, as you said, to that fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
The other, like you said, were 40 inches away, I think.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get it done right. So, boy, can I relate to those fingers and just not being able to get it done.
Oh, yeah. Well, that went on for years, and I was I'm one of these guys, if I make a promise, I try my best to keep it. So I did for years. I joined the Air Force, wound up down at Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I met a guy down there named Jerry Haveman who played lead guitar, pretty good at it, actually. And he kept encouraging me to try to play the guitar. And he finally said, you know, your trouble is you're trying to do it their way. Why don't you just do it your way? Well, I didn't even know what my way was. And like I said, I was frustrated and angry about it. I finally, out of frustration one day, I tuned my guitar to play an E chord without my left hand even being on the guitar. Okay?
E-tuning, yep.
And I said, when you guys get to an E, I'll play it. Because back then, I was interested in rock and roll, of course, in the 63.
Sure.
Just about every song back in 63 was E, A, and B7th. Okay? If you could play those three chords, you could play rock and roll. Well, I got my guitar to play an E. And then I looked at it and I said, well, those strings are all the same distance from each end. What if I just shorten that? Wouldn't that be? So I laid my finger across the fretboard and played that, and it sounded good. And I said, Jerry, what is that? And he says, well, that's a G. Well, what's this? I moved my finger. That's an A. What's this? A B flat. And I was writing things down as fast as I could. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I could play every major chord on that guitar with one finger.
Because that guitar is strung to an E chord open, and then you just shorten it by laying like a bar.
Almost like a steel guitar, yeah.
Exactly.
Sort of like that, but I'm just using my finger and laying it down on the fret, and it worked. And the next thing I knew, I was the rhythm guitar player for the Casuals, a rock and roll band.
Oh, geez. I love it.
Just like that. And it was like a miracle to me to find out this other alternate tuning. Well, as I got older, my voice changed, and I lowered it to an open D tuning. Okay. First off, it's easier on the guitar because it's a lower chord. It's easier on me because it matches my voice better because I was struggling trying to hit high notes again. And so I play guitar in D. And all my life, I've been told, you play guitar wrong. You ought to learn to play it right. And I kept thinking, you know what? It got me into America's old-time country music hall of fame. I think I'll stick with what I know.
I think you did the right thing.
Do it my way.
Yeah.
And I've had a wonderful, wonderful experience with music. Music will take you places you never thought you'd go, introduce you to people you never thought you'd meet. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed my life in music. I really have. And I became a songwriter, and I started submitting songs to Nashville and wrote a love song about my wife, of course. And I mean, you have to do that.
Yes, of course.
And it's been well received. So I'm just kind of fat and happy and sitting here in Branson, retired, I thought.
Let me tell you something.
Play with other bands? I mean, did you stay with music?
Yeah, back in the 60s, one of the bands I played with was named The Sound Mind, of all things. And then there was the Joe Rogers All-American Red, White, and Rhythm and Blues Band. You couldn't put that on a poster. You couldn't fit it on there.
Oh, that's a big poster.
Yeah, and I've had several others, but I was always the front man because I was amazed to find out how many people are mic shy. I never have been. But you join a band and all the other guys, they step up in front of a microphone and they freeze, they shiver, and it's never bothered me. So I was always the front man. I learned to read a crowd, decide what song to play next. I was just the guy that could talk forever. I need one of those buttons actually that says "Help! I'm talking and I can't shut up."
I have that button. I can get it for you.
What years were you in New York?
We lived there about 20 years before we came down here.
Oh, okay. So you would have been there after I left.
Yeah, and my wife was actually born in Stromsburg, just a little north of New York.
Okay. Now let me give you an example.
Okay.
Mr. O'Neill is too kind to say this about himself, but I'll ask him some leading questions. Keith can't play the guitar, okay?
But he probably had one. But my dad had a 1950 Martin.
Oh, man.
28.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask him a question and see if you can match this. Keith, good morning.
Good morning.
How many songs do you have in your library?
About 22,000 in my
phone. Oh, my goodness.
In my phone.
You've far exceeded what I thought I had plenty. I got about 8,000, but
let's get 22,000,
man, I got to get busy.
So you can see you're talking to Music Man himself,
yeah,
who loves all kinds of music. But he's, what would you say the genre you've been around was country?
Country and gospel. I grew up in California playing surf music back in the day and did that a lot, then played a lot of country. And actually, as a drummer, you're always asked to play Wipeout.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was in a polka band up in Nebraska, and they still wanted us to play Wipeout. Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was fun. I love playing drums.
Well, since I've been in Branson, we still keep our hand in a little bit. We play a pre-show down at the Hot Hits Theater for on Friday nights for the Motown Downtown,
right?
Which is just an odd thing for us to do because we're the farthest thing from Motown. I mean, we're old country, old rock and roll, originals and gospel.
But Miss Ball must like you.
She does. And they keep asking us to come back. In fact, they would like it if we would be there every night. And I'm like, nah, you know, at this point in life, I just kind of want to hold back. And Karen's... she's recently had an accident with and broke her femur, so so that's a serious thing. And Dr. Finkbone, now there's a name that needs to be an orthopedic surgeon.
He got me, and his son's a good football player too.
Yeah. As you being traditional country guy, there's a new guy over at God and Country that does Saturday and Sunday, or no, excuse me, Saturday and Monday only, and he does just that old traditional Jimmy Rogers stuff and all of that. We just did some rack cards for him at our printing company, but a great guy, nice guy. You would enjoy him.
Yeah, I think I know him.
His name just
Ron Wayne Atwood, probably.
I think it is Ron Atwood. Yeah.
Nice I figured that was the guy.
Yep.
But at any rate, we're sitting down, and we perform for the Branson Senior Center once a month.
Downtown by the sewer plant.
We'll do a couple of hours there every second Wednesday. But here I am in Branson, and I'm kind of relaxed, and we're just enjoying ourselves and not really doing too much at our age. You know, we're kind of just keeping up with the music, though, and having fun with it. And I started joining some veterans organizations, and I started hearing that we're losing anywhere from 17 to 22 veterans every day to suicide. I just absolutely... I will tell you, I thought that was baloney. I did not believe it. I thought it was one of those made-up statistics that was designed to make us open our wallets and donate, okay? That was my opinion. And so I was not very friendly toward those stats, and I looked them up, and I found out it's true. That's happening. And I thought, 22 veterans a day, that's almost one an hour. I could not believe what I was reading and what I was hearing, and it just astounded me. And I thought to myself, boy, somebody's got to do something. And I heard this little voice in the back of my head say, well, you're somebody. And I immediately denied it. I backed away saying, no, I'm not that person. I don't have a degree in psychology or psychiatry. I'm not a social worker. I can't help these guys. All I do is sing and play guitar. And the voice said, well, do that. And I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd heard in years. How is that going to help? Well, as I've told you already, I play guitar differently than most everybody else out there, playing in open D tuning. And it was like, well, you could teach them to do that. It's a simplified way of playing guitar. That would get them out of the basement, off their couches, get them in a social environment, kind of reform the band of brothers, if you will, because they miss that. I mean, veterans do. They form tight bonds. Well, now you've got a group of veterans together in a place with a social environment, in a pleasant atmosphere, all looking toward the same objective. And music, what a great thing music is. It has healing qualities. You've seen that with the Alzheimer patients, how sometimes a song from way back in their past will bring them out for a few minutes.
And, oh boy, for sure.
And it just does something special to your psyche. I don't know what it is, but music gets inside of you. It gets hold of you.
Larry, you got to do me a favor.
Yeah.
You didn't bring your guitar, which I'm disappointed that you didn't bring it.
Oh, well.
Do you want to try and play Wipeout?
Yeah.
No, I'm intrigued with this. So take your hands like you're holding your guitar, and show me the fingering that where you.
Well, I would use my middle finger because it's the strongest,
right?
And simply hold down all six strings at
once. But if I've got a neck that's this long, are you lower on the neck?
I can move that finger up and down the neck and
change,
and it changes chords automatically. It's like you're on autopilot,
Keith.
Yeah,
you knew that probably.
Well, a lot of guitar players do that actually.
Yeah,
especially
they do.
A lot of detuning and
now say that again, Keith.
Detune. They tune the guitar so when you just strum it, you don't have to put any fingers on it.
Yeah.
It's a D chord.
Yeah.
Really?
Starts at a D chord.
That's
now,
exactly what
I'm doing. My dad never told me that.
If you want to have an E chord, you move up to the second fret.
Exactly.
And strum it, and it's an E chord. One up, it's an F. F sharp,
well,
G.
Now, the challenge is, when you go to play a minor chord, you have to drop that third string one fret. So you're holding down two strings with this finger, three strings with your thumb, and reaching over to get that third string. But once you get that, you're playing a full six-string minor every chord. And most guitar players don't do full six-string minor chords.
Time out, guys. I need to ask you a question. All these years, I had my guitar on my lap, and you're telling me when I would take my guitar and take my pick, because I couldn't do it without a pick, okay? And I went strum, and I'm not hearing nothing hardly except an out-of-tune guitar. You're telling me if I tuned it like you're talking about, I could do that, and I would hear a perfect D chord.
Absolutely.
Yep. Or an E, depending on
Where you want to tune it. You can change that. And there, like you said, there are lots of different alternate tunings. You watch professional guitar players, you'll see them reach back, and they have several different guitars behind them. Normally, that's because each one of them is in a different tuning, or it's a difference between an electric and an acoustic guitar, but depending on the tone they're trying to set, mood they're going to set with their song.
You guys are just amazing.
Well, so, I want to find out about this organization now you started.
Well,
for veterans, and how does it work, and what are you doing?
Okay, well, initially I got hit with this, you're somebody, and I thought, well, you know, I could teach veterans how to play guitar in this format. And I found out there's a Guitars for Vets program in existence. And I went, well, there you go. I don't have to recreate the wheel. They teach veterans to play guitar. And the problem is you have to form a local chapter. And the restrictions are just enormous. You have to form a local chapter. It has to be with federal oversight. Has to be, the classes have to be held at a federal site with a federal officer present. The only people that can be part of that class have to be referred to the class by a social worker who has deemed the veteran to be potentially suicidal. And I'm going, That's too much bureaucracy for me. I'm kind of a straightforward kind of guy.
That's just hogwash.
Well, no, actually, they're doing that here in Taney County. They've got an organization through them, and it's not a guitar thing, but they're a suicide prevention.
Right.
And God bless them, I'm sure they save lives, okay?
Sure.
And that's what this is for. This is what it's all about. That's what got me into it. I thought, well, I could, by teaching somebody to play guitar, I could actually save a life. That's pretty incredible.
That is.
And so that kind of got me started, and I got to thinking, well, I can teach. I've never been a teacher, but I can show people how to play guitar in my way of doing it with this open D tuning. And like I said, I've done it for 60 years, and I don't care if people want to say I'm doing it wrong. It doesn't matter a bit to me. I'm doing it, and I enjoy it, and people enjoy hearing me play and sing. I'm good to go.
Now, are there regular meetings with the group, or if somebody knows of somebody, can they
get
involved? How does that work?
Well, there was some roadblocks in here to start with. I thought, okay, I could teach a class. I've got to have a place to teach it, and my church said, well, you know what? You can use the fellowship hall anytime you want.
Where's that at?
And that's at 300 West Hensley,
okay.
And that's where I'm teaching my classes. Now, I've got some restrictions.
That's over by the Nazarene Church, isn't it?
It is the Nazarene Church, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. We know those people very, very well. I haven't met your new pastor yet, but yeah.
Yeah, he's an interesting choice because he came from Hawaii after being there for several years and moved to Branson and brought his five children with him. So
build a congregation.
Yeah, just about.
He's like Chris over at King's Chapel. Moving from Hawaii to Branson, that's it.
Yeah, and there's a culture shock, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Hear that right there. That means you get more time.
Yep.
Tell him, Keith.
That means it's 8 o'clock break. If you can stay with us, Larry, we'll continue on the other side.
We'll do it, okay.
All right, hang out. We're talking with Larry Duran this morning on Good Morning Ozarks. And the name of the organization again?
Veterans Rhythm Guitar Project.
Is there a website?
There is not at this point.
All right.
I think you know some people by the name of Davis that go to the church over there at the Nazarene Church. Yeah.
All right. We're going to continue. 60 degrees, and Krista's going to keep us updated on the weather all morning long. Thank you for your time to be with us here at the Round Table.
Can you see me, Keith? Liberty Singers, the guitar on my...
I can see you right now.
Yeah.
Oh, John. Yeah, I got
100 miles, 100 miles.
Oh, my goodness. We won't sing any more for you, but we'll be back on Good Morning Ozarks. Stay with us. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill, Charlie Ingram, and Larry Duran right across from me. He's a Cornhusker fan, hopefully. Spent a lot of time up York, Nebraska. You get hooked on it up there, don't you?
Well, you can't live in Nebraska if you're not a Husker fan. That's what I understood.
So I was amazed when I went there. If there were three radio stations in a city like Grand Island, we had us and the KMMJ out of Central City, and everybody is carrying the Nebraska football game. I mean, it just is what's happened Saturday afternoon. They used to start them at 1:30, and boy, that was it.
In fact,
I've
worked with you so long, I'm already a Husker fan.
Yes, he is, a partial Husker.
Good. Yeah.
We're getting him there.
I got my cornhead over there in the cap. Hey, this is a little summary here for you. My production sheet calls it Veterans Rhythm Guitar Project. This is very, very fascinating. We're to the point now we're finding out some things we need from you potentially at home. And you said you needed some guitars, you got some funding, and you started talking about this package you got. Let's talk about this package.
Well, when I went to the DAV and told them I could teach a class and that I had a place to teach a class, there were several, you know, those things were taken care of. But the next challenge was obtaining guitars for the students to take home and practice between classes. And they said, you know, this is such an important project that you've come up with, we'll fund you. But I had to go find some cheap guitars that were actually playable. And that's almost contradictory, cheap and playable.
Sure. You know, that's a tough one.
Because it's a tough one. So what I found was a Stratocaster knockoff, essentially.
Stratocaster, real popular electric guitar.
A Fender Stratocaster.
Time out. You guys just hit the button. Because that was the other guitar that I found when somebody was playing an electric guitar and handed it to me. Now my finger problem is not near the problem because it's an electric guitar and I can press the strings down easier.
They are easier to play for a beginner, especially. And I found a kit online. It's called a Donner guitar kit. I'd never heard of them. But I ordered one, and it comes with a gig bag and a strap and a cable for an amplifier. It comes with the little battery-powered amplifier, capo tuner, almost everything a beginner would need. And
There's no amp, right?
No, it's a battery-powered amp. Comes with
really?
It. Yeah, for all this for under $250.
Oh, good.
Okay. And it actually is playable. I took it to a luthier, actually. And said, what needs to be done to this guitar to make it really playable? I don't want the guitar to be a roadblock. And he checked it out, and he said, Mike McAdoo could pick up this guitar and play it. He said, that's pretty astounding for the money. So I took that, and I went back to the DAV, and I said, I found a guitar kit. I can do this for each student for under $250. And they said, we'll fund you. They bought six of these kits.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Right up front. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, there went my last excuse. I have to do this now. So I started a class. It's at the Nazarene Church downstairs in the fellowship hall. This Thursday will be my last class of this course. And I'm doing this as a five-week course. And what's amazing is this method of guitar. If you can play major chords, you can play 1,000 songs and more.
Every surf song ever made had three or four chords. Every country song had that.
And if you can play every major and every minor chord, it just becomes unlimited. It just explodes. Yeah. Well, at the end of the first class, I have them playing two songs. Hmm.
What songs are you playing?
Well, Jambalaya is one of them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
Jambalaya,
Okie from Muskogee.
Yeah.
Eleanor Rigby is a two-chord song. But I don't try to get them into that just yet. That's for later.
I got you.
But there are, and they leave the class inspired and excited. And, I mean, I'm just having a great time with them. And I'm teaching people who've never had a guitar in their lap in their lives. In fact, one of the guys, when I first started this, came to me and he says, you need to know up front that I suffer from PTSD and I'm under anger management training. And I thought, almost like a threat, isn't it?
Yeah, you just said,
I said, guess what? You just came to the right place. And he stared at me like I was a unicorn. But he came to class and he said, oh, by the way, before we get into this, I'm left-handed. And that one hit me because I hadn't thought of it. Yeah. And I had to go back and find out, does this manufacturer make a left-handed guitar? You might think you can just flip a guitar over and play it, but no, that doesn't work well. for a multitude of reasons. I could explain that, but it's not important. At any rate, I got him a left-handed guitar. So he shows up at class, and I thought, this is going to be good. We're going to turn this guy around. We're going to change his attitude completely. And he was terrible. I got to admit, I hope he's not listening because I don't want to hurt his feelings, but he was just god-awful. And I was sure I was going to have to flunk him. And here was the deal that I made with the DAV. When you fund these guitars, understand that once a veteran completes the course and graduates, he gets to keep the kit. Mm-hmm. It's his.
Good.
That's the incentive for them to join up.
Sure.
It's not just a course for a free guitar, however. You've got to learn to play rhythm guitar. That's the deal. Well, this guy showed up, and as I said, he was terrible. I called him over to my house. I said, we got to figure out why I'm not getting through to you. And so he's sitting there playing, and I'm trying to think of how to fix it. And I just all of a sudden kind of had this light come on. I said, let me have that guitar. And I stuck a right-handed guitar in his hands. And in 10 minutes, he was playing it. And I went, what? And it irritated me, frankly, because he'd sent me down this path. How can you not know that you're not left-handed? What's wrong with you?
Sure.
And he said, well, he says, to tell you the truth, I'm ambidextrous. I do a lot of things right-handed. I do a lot of things left-handed. I've never had a guitar in my hands in my life. I just guessed. And I went, well, you guessed wrong. Take that right-handed guitar home and practice. Next week, he came in with the biggest grin on his face you could ever see. And he says, I got to show you something. And he pulled out his iPhone and showed me a video of himself playing guitar and singing King of the Road by Roger Miller with his two little grandkids standing next to him reading the lyrics and singing along. They couldn't do that a week ago. And it just, man, it just raises the hair on my arms.
It raises mine, too, because I got to thinking of trailers for sale or rent.
Gosh.
Rooms to let 50 cents.
That's it.
And
wow.
Now I get students in there, and just like you, they say, well, why didn't somebody tell me about this 30 years ago? I'd have been playing guitar all this time. I said, I didn't know it was a secret.
Larry, I used to have it was a nice-looking guitar. And my Mary might be over or whatever was going on. I'd grab the guitar. And, oh, you play? Oh, yes, I play.
Oh, yeah, I play.
And I give me one strike. Hang on, Keith. Come on. I can't get no satisfaction. A little bit.
And
so he'd say, yes, and then I'd stop. I said, that's all I know. I don't know anymore.
That's it, yeah.
Hey. This is amazing. Now, how can our listeners help?
Yeah, what can our KLSC family do?
Well, I'll tell you. Right now, I'm funded up for a couple of classes yet, but of course that money's going to drain eventually,
sure.
And I'll be going back around doing some more demos to the veterans organization because they've been very supportive. The VFW down in Ridgedale, the DAV here in Branson, BVA.
Now, which one is that's Disabled American Veterans?
Disabled American
and
Veterans.
And where do they meet at?
They meet at the Golden Corral.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's the first Monday of every month at 5 o'clock.
Is there a percentage requirement for that group, do you know?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, there's a percentage that they give you as a disabled American veteran.
What?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused by that.
You mean a percentage
you can
disabled?
Be a, correct. You can be 20%, 10%,
15%. Oh, the disability percentage.
Right.
Oh, okay. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer that. Any disabled American veteran, I suppose if you're on a VA health care program, that automatically qualifies you as being disabled. To some extent, and you would be accepted in that.
Okay.
But at any rate, they've got an office there. It's really in the VA clinic there just off of Gretna Road. And the service officer there, Mike James, can certainly answer anybody's question. If they just need to go in and ask him.
Sure.
And he'll get them signed up and help them with any VA support questions they've got. So there's that.
That program is awesome, and I would encourage you to go, if you haven't already, go meet and see Tim Handler over at God and Country. Mm. He does George Strait's show, but the last part of that show, he is talks about veterans a lot, has written some stuff for veterans, has the Gummy Camp, which you may or may not be familiar with.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim's great veteran supporter, as many of us here in the Branson area are. And so you're doing a great thing in the right place.
Well, thank you.
In the right place.
Well, so far I've completed, this will be the completion of my sixth class.
Wow.
And like I said, I try to teach six veterans in a class. They haven't always completed. There have been some accidents and some illnesses that have caused people to drop out. So, but most of the time, once they have attended the first class, they're committed. And, it takes a trip to the hospital to keep them away. Wow. They just get excited about it. That excites me. Part of what this does, I kind of got away from calling it a suicide prevention because I had a lady come up and said, I'd like to thank you for the change you made in my husband. And I didn't really understand. I said, you need to explain that to me. She said, well, he comes home from work, he gets down on the floor and plays with the kids, and when they kind of get tired of that, we get up and go to the den, he picks up his guitar, and we all sing while he plays guitar. Mm. And then after a while, we have supper.
Sure.
And I said, I don't understand the problem. That sounds good. She says, it is good. But what used to happen is he'd come home with a scowl on his face, go to the fridge, grab a beer, sit down, grab the remote and the TV, and we were supposed to leave him alone till supper was ready.
Right.
It's changed our lives.
Well, that's awesome. Great.
And I said, music did it.
Yep.
You know, music has that power.
So I answer a question, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here for just a minute. I've got my guitar in my lap. You ready, Keith? Mm-hmm. If I'm going
to
go.
You need to become a student. I can tell.
Well, I don't think so. My adult AD product, trailers for sale or rent.
That's
so
it.
What's my chords? What am I doing on that one?
Well, you're just playing majors and minors.
So it does take a minor.
And, you know, the only two positions that I teach, if you're going to play 24 chords, which is what you'd have to play all the majors and minors, you have 24 different memorizations of finger positions that you have to learn
right. And
memorize and teach your hand to do. I only have two. One is to bar chord all six strings. The other one is to bar chord all six strings except the third string, which you drop one fret. That's it. Once you learn that, you can play thousands of songs.
Keith, what do you think of that?
I think that's excellent. I think it's awesome. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You ain't nothing.
You can play that song.
Now, just to throw a kink in the works, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning because my students all complained that this minor chord is terrible to grasp. You have to grasp it kind of like a baseball bat, and it's asking their hand to do something they've never asked it to do in their lives, so they struggle with it. And I thought, well, what if we tune the guitar to that minor chord? Let's tune the guitar to an open D minor. And I had to get up and go to my music room and try it. All you do is take that open D tuning and drop the one string, one note, okay? Now when you strum it without your hand on the guitar, it plays a D minor chord. Now, you got to think back to how do you get back to a D major chord?
You raise that third string one.
You bar all six strings and you raise the third string one fret. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of them have one of them has DePuy's syndrome, or I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but it's one where it draws your finger in. And I took a guitar to the class that was tuned in open D minor. He picked it up and went, I can do that. I mean, it was like a revelation to him. And he said, and I said, well, that tuning allows you to play it on an acoustic guitar. You're not worried about the C sharp minor with your hand buttoned up against the guitar. Now you're coming over. You can do that on an acoustic. Two of the guys said immediately, I'm doing that. That's my new method. And so now I'm teaching two different tunings, open D tuning and open D minor tuning, for people who hate that minor chord in open D.
You would have this finger on that to pull down, and then this second one to raise that one.
Exactly right. Yeah, you've got it. See, and that's so much simpler than the baseball bat grasp. I drove my wife about half crazy grabbing those minor chords because I would sit and just grab minors up and down the neck, and not really play anything, but just to make sure that my hand could get to a minor in any position on the neck, until she would say, will you stop that and play some music?
You know,
hey,
to
Larry,
me,
this is great.
This
Thanks.
Has been good. Yep. You're not a minor man. You're a major man. Come back and let us know more about this. This has been a lot of fun. I know Keith is just drooling, can't wait to get the guitar back in his hand and tune it to the minor whatever, Keith.
Yeah, D minor.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
God bless you, buddy.
Larry, thank you. Give me some contact point where if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Well, I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
Larry
and
Doran.
What do you look for on Facebook?
Larry E. Doran.
Okay.
My middle initials out there. My son is also Larry Doran. He's Larry D. Doran.
Okay.
So I keep
the middle initial in there to keep that separate.
And the last name's D-O-R.
And if you if you want to email me, it's Larry E. Doran at yahoo.com.
All right. Thank you, Larry. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
Great job.
Come back, see us again, bring a guitar, and we'll see if he can master it.
Well, I'll just do that.
Trailer
for sale or rent.
Boom, boom, boom.
We'll be back in 20 cents.
No room,
no food, no pets.
I ain't got no cigarettes.
Oh, my. Let's get out of here. We've got the verse of the day to bring us back on track.
Eight but 10
for that room.
You turn him loose and you can't stop him. All right, put a quarter in. We'll be back in a moment on Good Morning Ozarks. We do have the verse of the day coming up next.